Greetings and welcome to this special episode of Rainer on Leadership. What we're going to send you to here in just a second is a live recording of Rainer on Leadership. And because I make some production mistakes from time to time, I forgot to hit record. And so what you're going to hear immediately is Dr. Rainer jumping into the topic of preaching to a virtual audience. And so this was actually recorded live onto Facebook. You can go and actually see the video on Facebook on Tom Rainer's page on Facebook. But right now I'm going to send you directly to the podcast.
Love doing webinars. And when we do webinars, as a matter of fact, if you're listening to this live, we have a webinar that we're going to be offering today. Actually, it's two repeated webinar on this, on a similar topic, but that particular topic is how to lead virtual staff or lead virtual volunteers. This one is about speaking to a virtual audience. And Kevin, if I recall correctly, we're approaching 4,000 people that are signed up for that. So that's absolutely incredible.
Yes, sir. We've got 3,500 people so far.
Well, okay, that's 4,000 to me. That's a good rounding up.
Just that's what us lead pastors do. 3,500. Well, let's just round it up to 4,000.
Well, the reality of it is, he got that number about 30 minutes ago, and the way this thing is going, is probably going to be 4,000 pretty quickly. So, I'm being prophetic in this. We are going to talk about, Sam and I are going to talk about speaking and preaching to a virtual audience. Now, we're doing this right now. We're doing this, so you can see if we are doing as we say you should do.
Yeah. Critique us by our own words. This is a rather strange way to go about it.
Yeah, but it's a good example of what to do. So you'll be hearing some things and seeing some things that are particularly related to our podcast sponsors, going through different points on this. But at the same time, we want to relate to you, the live audience, even as we're relating to a podcast audience. If we flub, we're not going to stop it. We're just going to keep on going. Sam and I will make occasional mistakes, and we just make the occasional mistakes part of Rainer on Leadership. We rarely go and do another recording. I think I did it this morning after 3 minutes because the landline phone started ringing. And so I said, stop. I'm here at my house. And so I said, stop it. We got to get this landline off the hook. So we want to thank Vander Blumen, who is our sponsor. Vander Blumen has been serving churches for a decade now. It's just, I remember when they first started, and it's absolutely incredible. But they not only serve churches, they serve Christian schools, they serve nonprofits, they serve value-based organizations, businesses, and the list goes on and on. If you have any vacancy, any staff or leadership vacancy in your school, in your church, in your nonprofit, in your values-based business, contact our friends at vanderblumen.com. Okay, Sam, the world is changing. That's always the prefatory comment. Everybody knows that. There's not a whole lot more to say about coronavirus other than what you're being inundated with by the news media, by the minute, by the second almost. But most churches right now, most church leaders are moving to virtual. The last time I looked at it, we do a poll every week. One of our Church Answers members actually does a poll every week. And the last time I looked at it was last night. And the number was either 7 or 8% of churches that are going to do an in-person service this coming Sunday. So that's 7 or 8%, and it was 49% the previous week.
The vast majority of churches are not meeting in person during this outbreak. And it's understandable. We're not at West Bradenton, which puts you in a place of, okay, what do you do? If you can't gather, which is a terrible thing because the gathering of the saints brings glory to God. Worship services are a key part of who we are as believers. But given what's happening, and same thing happened during the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918 and 1919.
Yeah, the internet almost busted during that time.
It did. Yeah, I mean, it was much slower back then, so we didn't have the bandwidth to stream back in the day. But we have to do something, and thankfully, we do have some technology that enables us to, you know, do something digitally. It's, you know, I'm a firm believer in incarnational ministry in the flesh, in person. I believe that churches need to be digital, but at the same time, you can't be only digital. You have to gather. You have to be together, but we can't right now because of a virus that's going around, and we have to be very careful. So there are some things that churches are doing, and these are creative, and it's an opportunity to jump into a world that maybe you weren't doing before.
We want to be very practical in this particular podcast, and if you're just joining us, you're watching a live Facebook Live podcast that will be released in probably a week. We've bumped our podcast to a different schedule to be really in tune with what is going on with the coronavirus and to try to help churches in that regard. And so we're now recording this, yes, live, but it will be an audio podcast sometime next week. We have some very practical points we want to talk to you about as you begin to deal with this virtual speaking and virtual preaching. And here's, we're watching it all over the place, and churches are all over the place on this. Here's just the first thing to remind you. Look at the camera. Look at the camera. Here's my challenge. When I am looking at my team, I'm looking here. See, Sam, right now I'm looking in your eyes, but the camera is here.
Yeah, so it is a little strange when we're doing the podcast.
Yeah, I'm always so used to just talking to you at this level, but the camera is, at least on my screen, just a few inches higher. It's that little green dot on my Mac. And so look at the camera. I'm watching a lot of pastor preachers. I don't want to be critical, but this is just a constructive comment, who are looking to the side, who are looking down. And they're spending a lot of time in their notes instead of a lot of time remembering that there's an audience out there. And so look into the camera and make certain that as much as possible, you can look up. There will be times that you have to look at notes. There will be times that you'll need to, if you have someone with you, you'll need to look to the side for just a moment. But this virtual audience is different. It's not like you can be scanning over an in-person congregation. I saw you do your first one recently, Sam. I give you an A. For what you did.
Oh. Well, thank you. There might be a little bit of nepotism in that grade, but thank you.
No, that's your mother.
Yes. Yes.
Your mother always says your sermon was the best sermon she's ever heard. She always tells, yes, that's the best sermon she's ever heard of his. And yes, if there's any nepotistic behavior, it is from your mother. I'm usually pretty straightforward with you guys.
And, you're still biased, but okay. I can count on you to be more straightforward. Mom's the encourager, though.
Yeah, yeah. No one has ever accused me of being an encourager. So we'll leave that role to your mom. So look at the camera. Did you have any trouble looking at the camera this past Sunday as you went virtual?
No, actually. We have used a modified form of a teleprompter. So the notes that I would be looking at in my Bible, we have put right next to the camera.
Oh,
actually, the camera shoots through the mirror, and I'm able to read my notes as I would normally. I don't manuscript. I have a detailed outline, is the way I would say it. I don't type things out, but I just put that so that I was able to preach through that it's not a true teleprompter. Well, it could be if we typed it all out, but it worked really well. We'll have to see how it works going forward. But yeah, it enabled me to look directly at the camera. It was a neat little tool.
I know that some of our Church Answers community said they just simply went to the app store and they typed in teleprompter, and they said there were a few choices there where they could actually find an app that could become their teleprompter. That's a great thing, because now you're looking at the notes, which are right by the camera instead of down or to the side or something like that. So that's, I like that. And then your music was well done. Jordan and Heather, incredibly talented to begin with, but your feed and mix was really good on that.
Yeah, we set up a temporary studio, which will probably become a permanent studio after all this is said and done, so that we can have some consistency in audio quality and video quality. So we had a room that was a life group room that we've transferred into a makeshift studio, and we're doing everything there. We're not only filming our worship experiences, but we're also putting out devotionals as well over the next couple or 3 weeks, depending. I don't know how long this will last, but we'll keep doing it as long as this thing is going on.
Well, I thought it was very well done. But as a reminder, not all churches have the resources your church does. Your younger brother's church, they have none of those resources. So they did an iPhone. They sat it on a tripod, and it was well done too.
Our video, a lot of it was shot on an iPhone.
Okay. So you didn't have to have any of the fancy camera stuff that...
We did have a digital camera, a small digital camera that we used, but it was a very inexpensive version. So it's just a matter of lighting. I mean, we worked very hard to make the lighting just right, but we used some of the same tools that others are using. We just did a different setup with lighting.
It's so affordable these days, sometimes even free. Let me say this before we go further. The audience may be seeing what you and I are seeing, and they're seeing a picture of Kevin with his bald head. They're seeing that, and they're seeing two words that say Amy Jordan, who has not punched on the camera button, and we're not going to ask her to do so. But every time we do these recordings, we always have two people who are doing the yeoman's work, who are doing a lot of the work, and that's Kevin, who is from Lexington, Kentucky, and Amy, who's from the Richmond, Virginia area. And it's just a reminder, you're in Florida, I'm in Tennessee, he's in Kentucky, Amy's in Virginia. This is the world we've been living in anyway. And so I want to give props to both of them, because they do so much of the work that gets us going and gets us out in front. So if you're seeing their names, that's what's going on. They're vital part of the team.
This is kind of the way we normally do things.
Yes, it is. Except I'm making sure that I'm looking at the green button more instead of looking at your eyes. Second point, Sam, dress appropriately. You weren't wearing your typical Florida outfit when you were doing your recording last time.
Well, I tend to dress a little more up when I preach anywhere. I don't do suit and tie, but I do a coat and, you know, nice pants and nice shoes. For the videos, though, I didn't wear a coat, but I still made sure that I looked appropriate. So don't do these things in your pajamas. Just don't.
Is a pajama like a pajama?
Yeah, I guess some people say pajama. Some people say pajama. Tomato, tomato.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that the jam was the jam. But yeah, this is not a chance to go real leisurely.
Right. Yes, you still want to look professional. Understand, you're putting this out there for the world to see. Some of you may be streaming your services anyway or recording them via video. For those of you who don't typically do that, now is a chance for you to show the community, you know, who you are a little bit. And please dress appropriately. Again, doesn't mean suit and tie, doesn't mean you have to be something you're not, but if you normally wear like what I would wear, a shirt and maybe a coat, don't wear a hoodie when you do this. You know, and some of you may normally wear a hoodie when you preach. And if that's the case, then that's fine. But I would
maybe,
say
maybe not, because the virtual audience will be more dispersed than your local congregation. So
right.
If your local congregation is used to you wearing the hoodie, they may not be, the rest of the world may not be ready for it.
Yeah. So just think about the way that you dress. I mean, how the image that you're portraying to the world as you put something out there, which also gets to the messaging too, not just dress appropriately, but think about the messaging. It's also an opportunity to share the gospel. It's an opportunity to talk about the good in your church. So make sure that you're not only looking appropriately, you're sending the right message as well. Negativity does not go well with social media. So try to maintain a posture of hope and positivity.
The third point is, with rare exception, don't try to recreate the live experience. For those who walk on a platform and have certain decibels that go higher at certain points and then lower at certain points, because you're used to an audience and you can either, you may be getting verbal feedback such as an amen or preach it, or you just may be getting body language feedback where you're seeing that they're tuned in. That's not happening anymore. So don't think that your live experience should be recreated minute by minute in your virtual experience.
This is the biggest mistake that churches are making that I've seen. And I understand everyone's trying to do the best that they can. You're putting stuff out there. It's a bit of a scramble, particularly last week for us. So if you're doing anything, hey, good for you. We're all in this together, so we don't want to be overly critical, because, you know, some of you are learning this digital world for the first time. So hey, as long as you're trying, that's great. But we're also going to try to give you some tips here, some practical tips. The biggest mistake that churches are making right now is they're trying to transfer the live experience into a digital experience, and it doesn't work. You can't just go an hour. If your services are normally an hour and a half, that doesn't relate well to the digital world. You've got to go much shorter. So our digital experience is somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes. We usually go an hour, hour and five, hour and 10 in our services. So we're more polished through a pre-recorded video. It's shorter. We're not trying to include all of the elements that we typically do in a worship experience. And we're doing our very best to show people something that's going to be very engaging through a screen. Don't forget that. It's less like recreating a live experience and more like you're in studio, like with a newscast or a TV show or something like that. I mean, I don't really want to make that comparison too much, but there needs to be a lot more polish to it. You need to be more succinct, and you need to think about your online viewer who's watching this. You know, I recommend about 30, 35 minutes max. Some may disagree with me on that, but we're trying to keep ours between 20 and 30 minutes.
Kevin, you showed up. You got something for us?
Well, hey, I was going to say, I'm watching the comments on Facebook. Michael Dickey just asked that question, are smaller churches doing live music? And if so, how? So I think if you guys can just quickly say anything, you guys have any tips about music and anything that you, if they want to put music on there, is there anything you guys would say?
Yeah, if you can. If you have the ability, I would. I think that people would enjoy a level of music. Understand that this is not congregational singing. That's something for the gathering of the saints. I mean, I wouldn't even attempt to try to get everyone singing together. So, you know, if you have somebody who can do well on camera, playing a guitar or a piano or something like that, that's what I would do.
And if you have the ability to get the music plugged into the proper equipment rather than being picked up on the same microphone as the speaker, the mix will actually be better. But that's something beyond my pay grade. But I know that a lot of churches are doing that. Any other questions that you're seeing on there, Kevin?
Yeah. Not at this time. I'll jump on in here in just a second if there's anything at the end.
Okay. Well, we do want to welcome all of you to this Facebook Live. We want you to know that we are recording a podcast on Rainer on Leadership, and it comes with all of the good and the bad. Sam, I'm just curious, are you seeing Kevin's face frozen on the screen right now like I am?
It's his beautiful mugshot.
Now you're back. Now you're back. It's okay. I was just seeing the frozen face for just a moment.
Really funny is it is just a picture of him, and when he talks, it's like he's talking without his lips moving.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Well, he'll come back and he'll be talking to us. By the way, your typical sermon is how long, and how long is your digital sermon?
My digital sermon is somewhere between 15 and 20 minutes.
Okay. And your typical sermon to a live audience, in-person audience?
About 30 minutes. So we're really reducing the length of the service. And we think that that's going to engage people. Even as somebody who, you know, I love the worship experience. I love the proclamation of God's word to a live audience. And, you know, you know where I stand on even video venue campuses. I'm not going to say they're anti-biblical or anything like that, but I'm not a big fan of that. But here I am in this world saying, you know, some of these things that they've been doing that we can learn from this. I do think a shorter service is going to be better for your audience, particularly if you're doing something on Facebook, promoting it, you know, you're putting some marketing dollars into this and promoting it to the community, to certain zip codes. I think you're going to draw more people in if it's a shorter service. You're not going to see, I know what I did with some of the services I watched, and it's like, oh, they're singing a song. Okay, that one's good. I'm going to click through. Wow, this is an hour and a half, and, you know, I'm going to watch maybe 20 minutes of it. So I would encourage you to keep things short. I think it's going to be better for your audience.
Well, if we're going to keep things short, we better keep moving as well. I'm watching the camera on this, and I'm watching the timer as well.
The clock is going. We're about out of time.
Get the right equipment. We talked about that earlier. It does not have to be expensive. It can be something that you already have. It can be the smartphone that you own. You're an Android guy. I'm an iPhone guy. Either or work, and it can. The cameras on this, both still shots and the video cameras, are just excellent now. And so it can be something as simple as that. There's all kinds of information out there now, what type of equipment to use, and the smallest of churches really already have that equipment in place. So that's good. What you seeing, Kevin?
Yeah, I think what you guys have covered is great. Two quick questions that I think are worth posting out there to both of you is, number one, talk about giving. And then number two, talk about, should they preach as if there are a bunch of people there, or like maybe from the pulpit or the sanctuary? Those were the two questions that I saw that I thought were worth addressing.
And I think the one about preaching is if there are people there goes back to our point of don't recreate the live experience. Sam was saying it's just hard to do. This is more informal. So Sam has really hit well on that one. How about the digital giving? Tell them where your church is and where you want them to be, Sam.
Yeah. So we, before this virus hit, we were at 20% of our giving would come in online. And our goal is to get to 80% by the time it's all said and done. I don't know that we'll get there. And obviously, we're not going to force people to do anything. And if they still want to give in service, we're still going to make those options available. We just don't have that option available right now. So we're doing everything we can. We're writing letters. A letter's going to go out to every church member every time we promote.
Handwritten letters, right?
No, not the online giving instructions. Okay. We are doing a lot of handwritten letters, but we're going to send a letter to every member saying, here's how to give online. So our goal is 80% by the time this is all said and done. If we get there, I don't know, but that's our target. We want to move as many people into digital giving as we possibly can through this time. And it will obviously help the church during this. And yeah, and to answer the question about preaching to a live audience, no, don't do it. There isn't a live audience. Don't try to recreate that. Speak to the camera. And I know that grates, you know, a lot of preachers because that's not what preaching really is. I get it. But in order for you to communicate well, that's what you're going to have to do. So now I would not try to get into the pulpit and preach out as if there's somebody in the audience. It's just not going to relate well to the camera because nobody is there. I would do something more that has a studio feel. Even if you don't have a studio, I understand, but anyone can get some light bulbs and, you know, cheap stuff to make it look a little better with a backdrop behind you. That's what I would do. I would communicate and knowing that you're communicating digitally through a screen and not live.
Okay. And just a reminder, remember your own camera. Now, when you're speaking, you tend to remember that. If you have someone sitting with you, like you may be in a conversational mode, when you are not speaking, most of the time the camera is still on you. So don't rustle papers. Don't check your smartphone and email. Don't start reaching across to get your order. You can do it discreetly. Don't pick your nose. They're just things to remember when you are on camera. So even if you're not talking, remember that you're on camera. I'm having to do that right now. When Sam is talking, I'm having to remember that I am on camera as well. And so whether you are the speaker or not, you are on camera and do remember that. And just one kind of bonus to all this, Sam, before we wrap this up, I wouldn't try to recreate everything your church was doing, not only in the worship service, but in all your programs and ministries. It's a false feel to it. Oh, well, we've always had these ministries. We've always done this. So we're going to do a digital form of it. The future world is not going to be a digital form of what you're doing now. The future world is going to be significantly different. Move toward that world instead of trying to recreate every event that you do, every children's function that you do. Don't try to recreate that. That is at best being mildly reactive. It certainly is not being proactive and it's not looking to the future. And it'll wear your people out during this time.
Agreed.
All right. Well, we thank you, Facebook audience. And Kevin, if there's anything else that you want us to say to the Facebook Live audience, for those of you who'll be listening to this for the first time as a recorded podcast, we did Facebook Live. So we're talking to a live audience, and we're also talking to an audience who will listen to this on podcast and view this on Facebook recorded as well. So we're trying to be aware, be cognizant of two different audiences. Thank you, as always, for being a part of Rainer on Leadership. This new type of adventure where for now we're recording it where you can see it as well as hear it. So thank you for being a part of this. And we always want to thank Southeastern Seminary. Southeastern Seminary, boy, they're doing a great job. They're making available their studio for local pastors to record sermons for free. And they're providing the camera people. It's just absolutely incredible. We have a partnership with Southeastern called the MA in Church Revitalization, we being Church Answers and Revitalized Network. It's a 37-hour degree, so it's pretty cool. Listen to this. Go get, and you can see it in the show notes when the podcast goes on. I don't know if you can see it now, but you can go to any previous podcast that we've done and get the Church Future Indicator. It's an incredible tool. It's free. And Church Answers worked with Southeastern Seminary to design it. If you've done it before, you might want to do it now. because this is post the time that we're now in the coronavirus, so it might be a whole new time to do it. So thank you, as always, for joining us on Rainer on Leadership. Tom Rainer is my name. I've been joined by Sam Rainer. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app, and give us a good rating and review over there so we can get the word out. And as always, thank you for being a part of this particular episode that is both recorded and live. And thank you always for joining us at TomRainer.com and ChurchAnswers.com, where we are helping churches get healthier together.